20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Thursday edition. The weekend is almost here. It's a weekend without Packers football, but we move on. The beat goes on. I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. You can also find me over at Game On Wisconsin, where I do the Quick Slants podcast. Along with me, as always, Mark Eckel, who is choked up after a Packers loss against the Lions. Mark, of course, over at Packer Report. Mark, game's already been talked about. We don't need to rehash it, but here we are 4 days later, and I guess we get some stress-free football this weekend.
Yeah, disappointing. I mean, you going to watch the games?
Yes. Oh, of course. Definitely. And I watch. Okay. I watch for the chaos.
Okay, I'll watch. Last year I didn't. Believe it or not, like when the Packers lost that game to the 49ers on Saturday, was it Saturday night?
Yeah. It was a Saturday game. Yep.
It was a Saturday night game. I couldn't watch Sunday games. I just couldn't watch football. Really? And they were great games that day. I missed like two great games apparently, but I just couldn't. But yeah. I'll watch. I guess, I mean, there's no one game this week. I guess, you know what, the game I'm looking most forward to is probably Dallas-Tampa Monday night.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them playing a playoff game on Monday Night Football?
I don't like it.
I don't know.
I know why they do it, money and everything, but it puts that team at a disadvantage the following week. They're playing on a short week.
Well, I don't know if it was just the Cardinals being the Cardinals, but that game did not turn out well last year.
Oh, that was awful.
They were real bad. Kyler Murray was real bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'll watch the games. I mean, I now have my rooting interests, and I have teams that I don't want to see do very well. We don't have to get into the semantics of all that kind of stuff. But
I think I know one of them that you don't want to see do well.
Probably, yeah. You're probably
same
right.
Team I don't want to see do well.
Yeah, exactly. I think we probably share that same sentiment there, along with much of our audience. But, yeah, the Packers, 4 days removed now from the unfortunate loss to the Lions at the end of their 2022 season. And a lot has been said, but Matt LaFleur spoke on Tuesday. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that he said, what the implications of it could be. Obviously, nothing is set in stone or definite yet, but he did say some interesting things that I think we should break down. And then a little bit of news that just broke on Wednesday as we're recording this now is the Jets offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur, brother to Matt LaFleur, is mutually parting ways with the New York Jets. And we know that LaFleur on Tuesday said that he did not deny that he has looked into or is going to look into the possibility of reaching out to Nathaniel Hackett, who was let go by the Denver Broncos after a season of misery there as their head coach after leaving the Packers last year, about a possible return to Green Bay. So there could be some changes upcoming. But I guess let's start there, Mark, because what Matt LaFleur said was, and we had a very healthy debate about this earlier in the day, was that at this time, he does not anticipate any changes to his coaching staff, right? So he says this 2 days after the Packers are eliminated from the playoffs. Now, the caveat here, or to be fair, he said, I don't anticipate any changes, which means it's a fluid situation. And so I'm okay with that. I do have an issue with part of what he said. And my issue is that if you're going to come out and indicate to us, and I know coach speak and he's not going to say something negative about his team or his staff, because there's some of these coaches and players are going to be here next year. You don't want to throw them under the bus, right? Right. So he gives a little bit of a somewhat vote of confidence by saying, hey, you know, I like some of the things that we did and we feel like, you know, we can still make hay with this moving forward. Those weren't his exact words, but more or less he said that. Now, again, I get it's a fluid situation and things can change. But the way the season ended, and this is the fourth year in a row now that the Packers get bounced out of the playoffs, they don't make the Super Bowl. I said on Quick Slants earlier this week, listen, I understand there's very few ways that a team loses a season-ending game and you walk away saying, oh, okay, they just got outplayed. Like, you know, but they're a really good team and I feel good about it. No, these LaFleur Packers every season somehow either get run off the field or they look bad and they get run off the field, right? And whether they're a one seed, a two seed, a seven seed, or they're fighting for their playoff life, all of those situations have not fared well. And Matt LaFleur is essentially saying, even though he's not saying it's set in stone, hey, I think you know, we're in good enough shape. So you can see, and Mark, maybe you'll disagree with this a little bit, but you can see how I and some fans might take exception to the fact that it's like, hey, just, I would rather you tell me that you're not sure, that you're evaluating things, that you're going to look things over, that you're a little more upset about how things ended. I know he is, but you don't, right. You just, you know, you don't see that. So what was your take?
My take, and maybe it's because I'm jaded from covering so many of these day after the season end press conferences for so long, that I don't care what coaches say. I don't put a lot of stock into it, because they're not going to tell you, he's not going to say, even if he, like last year, I don't believe he said, I'm firing Mo Drayton, or we're going to make a change at special teams, right? He
right.
didn't say it.
No, he didn't.
But he did it. Mm-hmm. And we kind of knew he was going to, or we expected him to do, although that took a little longer than I thought it would last year. I thought I would have fired Drayton like that on the way home.
Well, that's pretty typical for the Packers, isn't it? Am I misremembering? I think they usually take their time.
They do. They more so than a lot of teams. Well, Patton was fired pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm not mistaken.
So,
well, you know what? To this day, I'm not sure if Patton was actually quote unquote fired.
Now, yeah. So I don't think so either. And I was listening to ESPN Milwaukee. That's Wilde and Tausch. And he rehashed and basically said Patton was so ticked off at what LaFleur either insinuated or said about the defense's performance after that NFC Championship game loss to the Bucks, that Patton basically said, screw it, screw you, whatever it was, either screw you or screw it, I'm out of here.
That's what I always thought. I thought it was more Patton. And his contract was up, so it was just, they didn't renew him, and he said, fine, I don't want to get renewed, kind of thing.
Maybe he took exception to the fact that LaFleur, and he wanted LaFleur to take some more blame, according to what Wilde said. And listen, let's not forget in that particular game that LaFleur did opt to kick a field goal and then try to put the defense on the field to stop Tom Brady from getting a...
And they did until Kevin King got called for pass interference.
Right, which was, unfortunately, which was PI, which, again, is... When you've got the players out there and you kind of know how the movie's going to end. I mean, I guess they could have made a play. They could have gotten a stop. And I understand LaFleur wanting to trust in his team. But this is the first thing I thought of that disappointed me, because I've made a big platform this season of Matt LaFleur. And when they were going through the losing streak, the five gamer, I was all over him about, what are you doing to fix the culture? How are you going to turn this thing around? Well, kind of started to do that. They beat the Cowboys. They had a clunker 4 days later against the Titans, but they won four in a row. They left us hoping all the way up to the last game of the season. You wouldn't have thought that that would have been possible. But here we sit again, and it just, he's ultimately, as far as we know, the one that puts together his coaching staff. And this defense, so on defense here, Zach Cruz put a nice tweet out that had some statistics here about the defense, because there's mixed feelings about whether the Packers defense was good or not good in 2022. So here's some numbers, Mark, and we've already gone over this. They ranked 17th in points allowed, 17th that's in yards. I know you and I don't care about yards.
I don't care about yards.
28th in yards per play. That's a little more meaningful.
I guess.
20th in takeaways.
That's bad.
20th in touchdowns allowed.
That's not good either.
23rd in scoring percentage.
No, yeah, not good.
27th in sacks.
Yeah, they did lose their best pass rusher halfway through the season.
They did.
And they were a lot higher than that before Gary got hurt. But
they
again,
did.
Hey, listen, guys get hurt. That happens.
Yards per catch, last one. Yards per catch, 28th. Also not great. No. And they improved on third down, but then... You know, the yards per catch doesn't surprise me when, once again, I'm looking at the secondary against Detroit and they're playing off. They're playing soft. And from team to team, I get it. There's different things you have to respect. I mean, Jamal Williams did not necessarily have a quiet season. He was very good.
Yeah,
you have to respect the run, and maybe there was reasons for, I mean, that's not why you play off coverage. I know those are two different things, but there's like, it's different when you're just, Dalvin Cook can't get going because they're already down two or three scores, versus you can't pull away from the Lions because every time you get in the red zone, you pee down your leg.
A field goal.
Yeah, you can't get it done. And this time the ball did not bounce over the crossbar for Mason Crosby, right? So all those things come into play there. So I mean, we don't know what's ultimately going to end up happening here, but Joe Barry's been a hot topic, a big topic of conversation. And you asked the question, do I want Joe Barry to come back next season? Right. I'm almost tempted to ask you first what your take is.
I mean, if I was in charge, Joe Barry wouldn't come back. With that said, I would have never hired Joe Barry. I don't like the kind of deal. And I've said this over and over again the last two years. Joe Barry's playing Joe Barry style defense. This is what he does. If you don't like that kind of defense, then don't hire Joe Barry. You know, don't go. If you don't want to eat Italian food, don't go to an Italian restaurant. Go to a Chinese restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hired a guy that plays zones and soft cut and, you know, tries to avoid the big play. And that this is what he does. So if you didn't want that, then you should have hired whoever. I don't even know. I forget who else was on the list at the time, but someone else. So that's why I would get rid of. I don't think he's a good fit for the players. And we talked about this before he came on too. Like, did the Packers draft players to play Joe Barry's defense? I'm not sure they did.
No, not totally.
Because I think, like, you know, Alexander was there prior to Joe Barry, but guys like Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes, Rasul Douglas, like the corners, let's just start with the secondary. I think they're all better playing man. Well, I'm a man-to-man guy. I like defenses that play more man-to-man than zone, especially if I think I have good players. You know, if you know, there was years when the Packers secondary was banged up and they had to, you know, you couldn't match up, so you had to do some zone stuff. I think they're good enough to match up with most teams. And I like the blitz. I'm a guy, you know, I covered the Eagles under Buddy Ryan and then Jim Johnson, where, you know, those guys blitz like crazy, and I saw how effective it was. Mm-hmm. So I like getting after the quarterback. I think that's how you win games. I understand when you blitz, you're hurting your cover, but I think the secondary was this defense. All right, here's what I'm going to say about this year's defense. It wasn't nearly as good as I thought it would be when the season started. Matter of fact, when I did my five bold predictions, that was the one I got wrong. I said the Packers would be in the top 10 in points allowed and sacks and takeaways. I thought this defense was going to thrive on getting pressure on the quarterback and forcing mistakes. And during that four game win streak, they did, but that was the only four games that they really did. I mean, that's one of the reasons they lost the other night, is that they turned it over twice and they didn't get any turnovers. Which, in that, you know, that you do that, look it up. If you're minus two in the turnover battle, you probably lose the game.
Right.
They were lucky that they didn't, they still had a chance to win that game, you know. Mm-hmm. But with all that said, I don't think the defense, I thought, did get better from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, which is, I guess, you got to give the coaching staff some credit for that. And also, the defense, and I heard all those numbers, and they weren't very good, but there was only a couple games this year where I thought that it was the defense's fault that they lost. Mm-hmm. And certainly not the other night. Now, the defense in the fourth quarter was not good. Obviously, they couldn't get the stops when they needed it, but they still only really gave up 17 points.
They didn't give up more than 20 for the last five games of the season, and maybe longer than that too. Like their average was pretty good. I mean, they left it if an offense is good, above average to good or better, then what the defense did for the Packers in most games this year was gave them a chance to at least try to win the game. I'm not saying that they were, like, you know, they should have won 13 games again, but 20 a game is pretty reasonable.
If we remember last week when we picked scores, I forget what I picked. I think I picked 30-20 or 28-20, whatever I did. I gave the Lions 20 points, but I thought the Packers would win. Mm-hmm. And really, like I said, the defense only gave up 17 because the Lions' first three came directly from Matt LaFleur and the offense going for it on that fourth down and giving the Lions the ball at the whatever yard line they gave it to them at. You know, they didn't move the ball.
Green Bay territory, right? Yep.
They just kicked the field goal. I mean, the defense came up pretty big there. Other than the Eagle game, where the Eagles scored 40 on them, I don't. That's the only game where I could say maybe Tennessee. Tennessee with the defense.
Tennessee got out of hand, and then the Vikings was 20. Was that 27-7?
23-7.
23-7.
But the Vikings didn't score in the second half. They only scored 3 in the second half.
Right, right, right.
But I don't. And to me, the only game the defense lost, where I said they, was it, to me was the Eagle game, because the offense scored enough points to win that game, but they gave up 40. Every other game, especially this last one, the offense lost. I mean, the first Lions game, the offense lost.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You know.
Against a defense that's – I mean, Aiden Hutchinson was really good, but they're not a great defense overall.
He wasn't good when Zach Tom went in the game.
No, that's right.
Yash just couldn't handle him.
And I think the Packers, you know, that's another nice win there. Not something I had on our agenda to talk about, but just while you bring it up there, I think there's some things to look forward to for next season. I think Zach Tom is one of them. Zach Tom is going to be on that offensive line. He's one of their best. He's one of their best five. And obviously the Packers, now if they decide not to bring David Bakhtiari back, spoiler alert, I think they should find a way to make that work.
I think he's back.
I don't see how you. Whether you're going with Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback, or Rodgers wants to come back or not, you've got to have you don't ever walk away from an opportunity to have a guy like David Bakhtiari on your offensive line. But if he's not,
and the knee seems to be okay now. I mean,
yeah,
he missed those games at the end of the year because of an appendectomy. That's something.
Those are different. Yeah, and he said that he did say.
And, guess what? He's not going to have another one.
No,
because you only have one appendix.
Exactly. So, thank God.
Once it's out.
I've had that procedure, and I can tell you. And I don't play NFL football. I had a rather sedentary job, and it still took me a minute to like feel good again. But so he did say at the end of the season, though, that he had found a good regiment to get himself ready to play on Sundays as far as practice goes. And I think that might have been part of the reason why it was a slow roll when he came back, because he had to try to figure out a way to get his practice reps in, prepare for the game, be able to play on Sunday. And at least the end of the season, his first couple games back didn't look great, and he wasn't able to play a full four quarters, but then he was at the end of the season. He was playing full games, and it looks like he's, you know, his knee is a non-issue. Yeah. So finally, Mark, 2 years and a month later, finally we can stop talking about David Bakhtiari's knee.
Yes.
Just a horrible, horrible injury and surgery. But I'm encouraged by... I still like Yash Nyman a lot. I'm encouraged by Zach Tom, and those factors right there keeps Royce Newman off the field, because I'm not convinced that Royce Newman, that I want him starting. I understand he's a
very good backup.
He's a good backup, but yeah, I don't want him, because as soon as he comes in the game, it's immediate. Teams find him very quickly. He stands
out.
He's
not a tackle. He's a guard.
Right.
All I know is his rookie year, he played 16 games and the Packers went 13-3. So he didn't hurt him that much.
But if Tom is, I'm just saying,
Tom's your right tackle.
If you have Tom and Nyman and Bakhtiari, then you don't have to move Elgton Jenkins to tackle, which means he can play left guard, which then means Runyon is your right guard. And there's no question about whether Royce Newman should be playing guard.
No, he's your top backup.
Right.
Guard.
Right.
And there's no problem with that. I mean, like I said, he's kind of but if he has to play, it ain't the end. If he has to go in at guard because Runyon, you know, got, you know, something, he has to miss a couple series for whatever reason, I'm okay with him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's as bad as people think at guard. No. He's not a right tackle.
No.
But Tom's your right tackle. I don't want to get into this tonight, but can you afford to have Yash Nyman as your third tackle?
You know, I think he is affordable. So, yes, normally you would say no, because tackles are very expensive. I don't know what his contract situation is off the top of my head.
Well, he's a restricted free agent, so you have to give him –
You have to tender him then, right?
Tender him at like $4
million. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They don't have a ton of cap space. So if he's valuable, then yeah, this is where you get busy and maybe work the phones.
I think they like these other tackles they have too.
Work the phones a little bit, right.
I want to trade Yash Nyman and get whatever I can, the most I can get for him. I think you can get a decent pick for him. You're not going to get a second, but
No, but
I'll take a high fourth.
You know, on that other thing too, and that's a good conversation.
Tom has proven he's better than Nyman.
Yeah.
The last two games of the year, Tom had to go in when Nyman was struggling
and did well.
Yeah,
and he did well. So, Mark, I was pleasantly surprised that after your worst nightmare came true. Well, Yeah, you're. I guess yeah. Right.
Well, my original nightmare was that they would win them all and it wouldn't matter because
they wouldn't get the help.
Washington would have beat Cleveland.
This was your backup nightmare.
This was yeah.
So
this was what I didn't think would happen. I didn't think Aaron Rodgers would lose at home to the Detroit Lions in a game that they had to win.
Yeah. Well, after what we saw last year, we all took the bait. We all took the bait, and I know that's kind of some shade at Rodgers, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what I was going to say was...
No, it is. I mean, I'm putting this loss on Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I want to talk more about that, but I did want to say that I was pleasantly surprised to learn that after winning 8 games and almost getting into the playoffs, they still pick 15th, which is in the top half.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better. That's better than 20th or 21st.
Yeah, not as good as 10th.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. But 10th would have been a more painful last month of the season. I mean, I love watching the Vikings get their butts kicked.
Yeah, that one. But they could have lost at Miami and just made our lives a little easier, and we wouldn't have gotten all our hopes up.
So this, I guess the Rodgers conversation can also kind of include a little bit of the Mike LaFleur, because obviously that's Matt's brother. And I think he tried to get Mike on his staff and that didn't happen because he was in San Francisco. And
they wouldn't let him go.
We went to the Jets with Robert Saleh. So if Aaron Rodgers obviously, again, doesn't play a great game, and there's all kinds of film work, and then you're going to get the faction of people that say, oh, he missed a bunch of throws, and you're going to get the other faction of people that are going to say, well, what was the play call? There's always a yin and a yang to every conversation, but Rodgers really did not have a very good game, and his numbers were not and have not been Rodgers-esque for a long time. No. He wasn't even throwing for 200 yards a game down the stretch. I mean, the last time he threw for more than 300 was last year in the last game against the Bears, who have still been bad for a long time. So Mike LaFleur comes, you know, if he's going to get added to the staff, you got Nathaniel Hackett out there as well. How would Rodgers react to another LaFleur on this coaching staff? I mean, you choose how you want to tackle the Aaron Rodgers did not play well against the Lions thing.
He didn't. I mean, bottom line, I mean, he really didn't play well most of this season. Now, what he did was, he reminds me, and I'll compare it to like a baseball player. Like, I'm trying to think of somebody relevant these days. I go back to like Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle, right? I mean, great Hall, and that's what Rodgers is. He's a, you know, if he retires tomorrow, 5 years from now, he'll be going into Canton. First ballot, unanimous. I mean, football doesn't vote that way, but there's no doubt. He's one of the greatest, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this game. But he's 40, he's going to be 40 years old. And this year he looked like a guy that every once and again, you'd say, wow, just like Mickey Mantle in his last couple years, he'd hit a home run. He'd say, oh, there, Mick, he still got it. There's a home run, but he hit like 227. You know,
right?
That to me, that was Rodgers. He, listen, not just this year, even his two MVP years, where he was very good. This is 3 years in a row now. The first year when they lost San Francisco, they weren't. I don't want to say it was a fluke, but they overachieved to get to that NFC Championship.
Right? Yeah,
that was. I mean, they were coming off back to back losing seasons, and McCarthy's last year was a disaster almost. And for LaFleur to come in that first year and get them to the NFC Championship game was pretty good. And it was on the road. And, you know, anyway, whatever, that was that. But the Tampa game, he had the ball down one score.
Couldn't do it.
Didn't get it done. Last year, tie game. Not even losing, tie. 10-10. They had a Niners block that punt, and that's on special teams, obviously. But, okay, still 10-10. First of all, you only got 10 points. That's not good. But it's 10-10, and you got the ball again. With a chance to go down and even kick a field goal to win it. Didn't get it done. This year, down 4 points. You got the ball. Didn't get it done. I didn't make up any of that, right?
No, you didn't. And actually, the
side-by-side.
Aaron Rodgers is
supposed to get that done.
The side-by-side of the
situation. Tom Brady gets that done.
Right. The situation, side-by-side to last year against San Francisco and this year against Detroit, was very similar in how Rodgers tried to solve the problem by throwing it deep and trying to let the receiver make a play that the receiver was not able to make.
You know what, though? And I forget, somebody said this, and I thought about it. Like, and not taking it. Listen, Christopher, I've turned I apologize to Christian Watson a billion times. He's going to be a good player. A veteran wide receiver in that situation might have been able to get pass interference called against the defender.
Yeah, right.
Might have been.
Yeah,
Devontae Adams might have been getting, you know. But again, that's from being in the league, you know, and doing it. This kid's a rookie. He doesn't know how to do that kind of stuff yet. But that was right. But with that said, no, that was a bad pass.
Right.
But no. not just that. I mean, the whole game was the offense. They moved the ball early. They moved it into the Lions territory. Boom, boom. And they're kicking field. You got it. You got to get seven. You got to stop getting these threes. You're going to come back to beat you. And that's exactly what happened. And here's the other thing too. And I said this to you. This is why I want it. I kind of wanted Seattle to lose, because the Lions were played. Lions didn't care. The Lions, all they wanted to do was knock the Packers out. So they go for it. If that game meant something to the Lions, they don't go for it on fourth and two.
Right.
They probably kick the field goal to tie the game.
Yep.
They don't do that little trick play. The Lions let everything out. What do they care? They had nothing to lose. If they lose, so what?
We'll never know if that was true, but I do think that Dan Campbell calls a different game if they have more on the Lions.
Yes, but with that said, also now, because they were out of it, they were never out of this game. It was the biggest deficit was 6 points, right? 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 21-3 and you're out of it, yeah, you want to fight.
They're going to quit.
But now you're down. If it's 21-3 at halftime, the Lions won't even come out for the second half.
Right, because, you know, Jamal Williams isn't running. But yeah, right.
Because now they're getting texts about what are we doing tomorrow. What's your vacation plans?
Well, and to that effect, that brings up a good point. And I just want to, you know, set the record clear here. It's been talked about a bunch, but one of the other issues that I have with Matt LaFleur is the culture of this team at times in the most crucial moments, how you can have a player pushing a staff member, a trainer, how you can have another player come through and pick up the ball in a dead ball situation because,
well, no,
I don't want to give no one a free kick and then slap. Right. He threw a punch. I mean, he could have easily gotten thrown. The player pushes Rasul, stands up because it's like, okay, whistle, the play is dead. And Rasul swipes at the guy's helmet like open-handed, but that could have been construed as a punch, and he could very easily have also been ejected in that moment. So you got two players in a game that your team needs to extend your season that you're counting on, both key starters doing something like that. It's the second time that Quay Walker has been kicked out of a game in his rookie season. And you're
for doing the same thing.
And you're Matt, you know, and the week prior, Walker got the personal foul penalty for the body slam tackle on the Vikings guy. I mean, it's good to be aggressive, but you've got to harness it. And I know that he's a young player, and I choose to believe that Quay Walker will rein it in and learn from this, although it did happen twice. You know, if he comes out and goes meathead at the beginning of the 2023 season, I think we've got a pattern there that's concerning. And the Packers might have to figure something out. That's be a huge bummer because he's a first round pick. But
and who played great, by the way.
The last half
of the year, he was fantastic.
I don't understand Rasul. I just don't get it. I just don't understand.
Rasul's thing was, I understand his. He didn't want the Lions. The Packers called timeout, and the Lions were still going to try to kick. And he was like, no, you're not getting a free kick off because I don't, you know, you guys missed the last one. That's why we called timeout.
Okay.
So he smacks the ball. Okay. He should have stopped right there.
Well, and when the guy pushed him, flop instead and try to get a flag. Right. Don't.
And then get the penalty on them.
Because they always get the second guy.
Exactly. That's where he meant. If, like you said, when the Lions snapper pushed him, he should, like you said, he should have fallen down.
Yeah, just flop.
Then they get a 15. Then the Lions get the penalty and they're out of field goal range.
Yeah, just flop if you're gonna pull that stuff. But what are you doing?
Yeah, don't swing back.
What are you doing, man? Like, come on, make a stop. Then don't let them kick a field goal. Don't let them get into field goal easier. It's easy for me to say, you know. But the point is that this is what leads me once again to question whether Matt LaFleur's.
I know you want to put this on the coach, and I understand. But it's not like he Is the coach before the game supposed to say, "Hey, listen, guys, when the other team's trainer comes on the field, don't push him."
Right. No.
No. I mean, that's just,
no. The players. No. But there's also But there's also a culture out there where it's like, how come some teams don't have those issues? Like, you know, is it because I think Brian Gutekunst is bad at finding high character guys. Like, maybe he's changed his formula a little bit, but why do some teams never seem to have those problems? And even listen, the gold standard, even Belichick's players have gotten dumb penalties before. It's not like anybody's immune, but these are the kind of things that stack up there. And it's like, how much control do you have when you've got players doing something multiple times in a season? LaFleur was mad. I mean, there was no question about it. He was beside himself. I am not saying that Matt LaFleur was encouraging it or was okay with it. He was not. He was livid. But it still happened multiple times. So how are you holding your players accountable? It's a rhetorical question I'm asking right now. How are you holding your players accountable, and how are you trying to improve the culture of your team? Right? So if he wants to run it back next year and brings back the same coaching staff, I know there's going to be different players. There could be a very, very different player at a very key position. We don't know what's going to happen there. And so the situation is going to be different. But well, I guess all I was saying was, by him saying and going back to, hey, if we're going to run it back here, okay, that just tells me that I guess I can expect the approach and the preparation to be similar to what it is this year. And you're just hoping that everybody elevates. And the cautionary tale is that some players that they expected a lot of good things from this year that did well last year didn't elevate, and they weren't able to ascend their games. Now, Eric Stokes got hurt, but he wasn't playing any better this year than he was last year. Rashawn Gary got hurt, and they needed him. Rasul Douglas...
He was the one person that could most ill afford to lose, in my opinion.
You mentioned that before, well before the injury happened. That's true. Rasul, it was going to be tough for him to duplicate what he did last year.
But he came on at the end, though.
He did.
During that four-game win streak, he played pretty well.
He did. But when you do something at the end of the game that's kind of dumb like that, it's like you're already fighting and struggling and you're not scoring right in the red zone, and your defense is having trouble keeping the Lions out of scoring range, even though they're holding them to field goals. Like, and you're doing stuff like that. Like, you can't afford something like that against the Lions, who keep stealing momentum and eventually took it over and won the game. Like, that's...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they were two bonehead plays, no doubt about it. Walker, I really like to know... excuse me. I'd like to know more. He gave a pretty heartfelt apology, which, and, you know, that's all well and good, but that doesn't change what happened. That one I'd never seen anything like before. I mean, it was his friend on the Lions who got hurt, right? The running back from
DeAndre Swift. They went to Georgia together, correct?
Yeah, and they were obviously pretty good friends.
He was concerned.
So he's in there looking to see how his friend is. And now, does the trainer, I mean, again, there's no excuse, but something must have, I don't think he just pushed the trainer for no, like, just because, like, he would, I don't know. He got the penalty. He got thrown out of the game, all justified.
Well,
I don't think he should be suspended.
Like, no,
I think that's silly.
The trainer's not a big guy compared to a football player.
No.
And so when he's trying to make his way to his player and he's got to go through two other very much larger human beings, he's got it. It's kind of like when you're in a crowded bar and you're trying to get to the bar, like,
right,
you got to make room somehow. You got to give the little, you know, courtesy tap, like, hey, excuse me. And I think he did kind of try to move Quay out of the way, not egregiously, and Quay, even himself said, as soon as I did it, I regretted it. So it's like, okay, well, why don't you start thinking a couple steps ahead in the future?
Well, here's the other thing, too. And I know they went to school together and they're friends, but you can't be friends. Like, no, he's not your friend today. After the game, go out to dinner with him. Fine. During the game, he's on the other team. He's not your friend. He got hurt. He wasn't hurt that bad, as it turned out, but just get away. Go in your huddle. Talk about the next play and how you're going to stop them. Like, don't linger around the other team's injured player. That's number one. If he doesn't do that, and nothing ever happens, right?
Right. No. Nothing.
And that's what I didn't understand. When I'm like, when the first time, I didn't realize it was DeAndre. I didn't, you know, I wasn't adding the two and two to the Georgia connection. But thinking, why is he even looking at the line player being a get out of there? They're not your guy, didn't get hurt. Go, you know, go back to your huddle.
Right.
I mean, that bothered me as much as anything. And that happens too much now. It's like these players are too friendly with other players on other teams. I'm old school where that's my enemy for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. No, and, I agree.
You know, again, after the game, you want to go out to dinner? Go ahead.
No, I agree. And I think that's all part of that attitude. Like, that's where you like to see guys like Rasul and Quay Walker, like, hey, I'm not trying to set you down gently. I want you to know you just ran into me.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm fine with that, but not when it's costing your team yards, valuable yards, and field position and stuff like that.
I mean, who knows what happens if, I don't know.
Butterfly effect. Everything changes everything. So I also,
that guy misses that. If Rasul doesn't get that penalty, there's a 50-50 chance he misses that.
He could. Yep.
And he missed a 46, he might 48. That's that, you know.
And it plays out differently. Yeah, it all could have.
And then if Walker doesn't get that, it's 2nd and 8 from the 9. Maybe I don't know what happened. Maybe the Lions still score, but 2nd and 8 from the 9, if they don't gain anything, now say it's 3rd. Say Goff throws incomplete, it's 3rd and 8. They might have to settle for a field goal there, and then the game's tied instead of being behind 2016.
Yeah. And Goff had some bad throws too. He was under some pressure.
Yeah.
In that game,
the defense. I'm telling you, they wore down in the fourth quarter, and I think a lot of that was. Again, I'm going to blame the offense. Didn't do anything.
Right.
They had one good drive where they went down and scored. But for the most part, come on, the Lions' defense is one of the worst in the league. I mean, you called up all those Packer numbers on defense. Call up the Lions' numbers in them same categories. They're not good, and they played without one of their best corners.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers didn't take advantage. He was not. First half, I thought it wasn't all his fault. He had a couple bad drops.
The Aaron Jones fumble. I don't know if that happened in the first half or the second half.
You know what? We'll save this for another show, too. But I was all against not bringing – you know, you got to bring Aaron Jones back. You got to bring Aaron Jones. No. No. I don't want him. Too much. Making too much money. He's a running back. I'd like to trade him. I'd like to see what I can get for him. If the Panthers could got a 2, a 3, and 2 4s for Christian McCaffrey – I'd like to think I can get maybe not quite that much, but I mean, Jones has less wear and tear than McCaffrey, and he's certainly healthier. But I'd like to see what I can get for Aaron Jones and get rid of his contract and just move on, because it's too many big games where he puts the ball on the ground.
Yeah, it happened against the
Tampa Bay
Bucks, and it happened now, and he had, I think, more fumbles than any running back with his number of carries this year, too.
5 fumbles.
Put the ball on the ground a lot.
Last year, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, bad plays in a game. He had that if you remember, right before the half against San Francisco, when Crosby had the field goal blocked, Rodgers found Jones on that long bomb, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should have either scored or gotten out of bounds.
And he cut it inside right into the defender.
Yeah. He should have just gone out of bounds. He saw what he saw. If he wasn't going to be able to score, get out of bounds, stop the clock. And the Packers would have had 2 more plays from there to maybe get something. Either get Crosby closer or score something. I love Aaron. He seems like a great. He's a great guy, and he puts up good numbers. But big games, he comes up very small.
Well, that was the story of a couple of. I mean, Rodgers, Aaron Jones.
Rodgers, like I said, 3 years in a row now, had the ball. I mean, great quarterbacks, and he's a great quarterback. But great quarterbacks find a way to win those games.
You need your biggest games from your biggest players, and they just don't get it at the end of the seasons.
And I thought they were going to win that game. I mean, from the all day, I thought they were going to win the game. When the game started, I thought they were going to win the game. And even with 5 minutes to go, when they got the ball back, I'm like, all right, he's going to take them down. They're going to score. They're going to win. They're going to win 23-20, or whatever it would have been. Yeah, 23-20, right?
Yeah.
And again, he didn't get it done. They didn't get it done, but he didn't get it done. So here we are.
And here we are. Exactly.
Now,
so,
we didn't mention, we got to wrap up soon, but I would bring Nathaniel Hackett back.
Well, what about Mike LaFleur? I mean, you have to assume that Matt knew that Mike was probably going to, so for him to talk about Nathaniel Hackett means maybe he's already decided, like, hey, I don't know if having my brother on the staff is the best idea at this point in my coaching career now. But where are you at on that?
On LaFleur or Hackett?
LaFleur. Mike LaFleur.
I don't care. I mean, if they bring him in because Matt wants his brother on the staff, he was pretty highly regarded as a assistant coach. I mean, that's, you know, the Jets wouldn't have brought him in and made him offensive coordinator. They didn't think. Now, obviously, that didn't work out, but he's a good position coach. I wouldn't be against bringing him in. I mean, it would look a little bit of nepotism, but
yeah,
that's all right. I mean, you know, look at the NFL's loaded with nepotism.
You're right. He was the wide receivers coach and passing game coordinator in 17 and 18, and then he was the passing game coordinator in 2019, 2020, which is almost like co-offensive coordinator before becoming the guy for the Jets.
Yeah, so, if they want to do something like that, I mean, you know, Jordan Love could probably benefit from, you know, if Rodgers leaves, like, I think Clemens might leave with him, right?
I would, yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking there, too. But if it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and you
offer... Well, then we've got all kind of problems.
Well, if it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and you've got Mike LaFleur and it's like, hey, Nathaniel Hackett, come back and be offensive coordinator, or maybe you're co-offensive coordinator and you're the red zone guy, and Mike, brother Mike, come in and be the quarterback's coach, would Aaron Rodgers even respond well to that? I don't, if it is
no,
Rodgers.
But that might force him to retire,
right?
So maybe you do hire him just so Rodgers retires and gets the hell out of the way.
Yeah,
because let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers is in the way right now. I love the guy. I've defended him for, you know, more than most, but it's time, it's over. Retire. Like, that somebody told me that he's meeting with the front office these today and tomorrow, or yesterday and today, whatever it was. And I said, when somebody told me that, I said, oh good, maybe they're picking the day in the game when they retire number 12 next year. I was kidding, but I mean, I hope, listen, it's time. He's gonna be 40 years old next year. He's not getting better, he's getting worse. I mean, this was a bad year,
right?
I mean, if you could rewind the clock, they should have traded him. They should have traded him to Denver last year instead of Russell. Denver should have got him instead of Russell Wilson. The Packers would have had a bunch of picks. Let me ask you this. If Jordan Love played this entire year, what's the Packers record?
I have a hard time thinking that it's that much different.
No.
Maybe
it's no worse than 8-9.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, you know,
maybe
what's
better.
Well, you know what's funny is, like, maybe they don't boat race the Vikings. Maybe, I'll bet you they probably would have traded, obviously, a couple of those losses might have become wins.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of the wins, like, I don't know if they come back and beat Dallas or something
maybe
like that.
Not.
But you see, you trade a couple there, but it's going to be pretty similar, like,
right.
7 and 10, 8 and 9.
Plus, they
yeah.
would have had, who would they have, I mean, what pick did Seattle get from Denver last year? I forget who Seattle took with that pick, but keep that in mind. They would have had a couple more players on this team, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so
yeah.
it wouldn't just be – and Denver – then Seattle got a couple players. I mean, I wouldn't want Drew Locke, but they did – you know, they got the tight end who's not bad and a defensive player, I think, right? So, I mean, they would have had more than just – it wouldn't just been Jordan Love's playing quarterback. The Packers would have had some more talent around them.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. And I hate saying this because I'm not one of the people that have been bashing Aaron Rodgers. But now it's time. It's time. And this is any profession. When you start talking about retiring, you're already retired.
Right. You're thinking about it.
Yeah. If you're thinking about it, especially a job like that. I mean, I know myself, when I retired. I was ready. I knew it, and I said it, and I did it. I told my boss when that last season, and again, I'm not comparing myself to Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, but so it was still a job that I had for a long time, but I knew I didn't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think he wants to do this anymore. I really don't. He got beat up a little bit this year, which I don't think, you know, when you get old, you don't like getting beat up. You don't like getting hurt.
Right.
So, I don't think he's here next year. I really don't. I don't think he's in Green Bay next year. I think it's Jordan Love's team. And I think a Nathaniel Hackett would be a very good assistant coach. You call him. I don't know what title they give him. I don't think you want to demote anybody because that's a bad look. But you can bring him in as assistant to the head coach in charge of whatever. And like I said, I think if Rodgers does retire or moves on, whatever, Clemens probably goes too, right? I mean,
probably. I mean, yeah. I mean, him coming out was gift wrapped for Rodgers,
right? So he was retired. He's an older guy. He goes, and then you can make Hackett, whatever, you know, assistant head coach / quarterback. So, or you bring the brother on, whatever you want to do. But Hackett was known for being innovative and good with the red zone, and the Packers were very good. They were very good in the red zone while he was here, and they were very bad this year in the red zone. So if that alone could make a difference,
right? Oh, hugely. That's worth at least a couple wins right there. And then we're not talking about the Packers being out. We're talking about who they're playing this weekend.
Yeah, or maybe even the Minnesota game. Maybe they're the sixth seed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so back at it again next year. It's going to be interesting. This is Matt LaFleur's first time coming in after having coached a team that didn't make the playoffs. I mean, he inherited one, but now his team didn't make it this year, and it's right. There's a lot to be decided and a lot that's going to happen. And I guess what's nice is that it's not just going to be defensive conversation on this show, so we can talk about some other topics, and it sounds like we've got some already that we might want to bring up, and obviously we'll talk about whatever comes up between now and next week. So now that we're into off-season mode, I assume you put a game recap that's still up in yes. Packer Report, but remind everybody what your off-season schedule looks like and what's coming up.
Well, it kind of looks like, I don't know what it looks like. The off-season started a little sooner than it has for the last couple of years. Like you said, up now is my recap of the loss of the Lions. If anybody wants to rehash that, go right ahead. But coming up today, or depending what time you're listening to us, it may already be up. I did a look at the, 14 unrestricted free agents and the 3 restricted free agents, and kind of just my guess on who stays and who or my opinion more, who I would keep and who I would let go.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, and I said I would do a quick slant if there was any newsworthy stuff that comes out between now and Monday, so we'll see if that ends up happening. But if nothing else, we will be back again next week on Thursday talking more Packers with updated news, notes, and nuggets. In the meantime, hope everybody is recovering well from Sunday's disappointment. And if you're going to watch the playoff games, enjoy the heck out of them. And
I got to ask you one more thing.
Yep.
Give me your Super Bowl.
Oh, geez. At this point, and I usually do this because I kind of go into hater mode, and if the Packers are out, I usually slant towards the AFC.
Oh, yeah.
So
the AFC is going to win.
I'm just going to be following Buffalo and Kansas City. If you ask me right now who I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be the Chiefs.
Really?
I'll take Andy Reid and his coaching experience along with Mahomes and everything else that goes along with it. But Buffalo's got a lot of emotion, a lot of fan support. There's a lot of good vibes coming their way as well. And in the NFC, who cares? You know, it doesn't even matter. I just hope, like I said, I'm rooting for chaos. Who knows? Maybe if we can get upsets all the way, maybe we'll see the Giants host the Seahawks and it'll be some kind of an amazing NFC championship game that nobody saw coming. But what do you have?
I got Buffalo, Philadelphia.
Eagles, Bills. That'd be a good game.
I think so.
That'd be a really, really good game to watch. I mean, either way, it's going to be fun. At least it'll be stress-free on our end, but we'll have more time to talk about it. We got a couple weeks between now and then.
By the way, I did just look this up. If Denver would have made the trade with the Packers last year, the Packers would have had the 9th pick. Now, Seattle took Charles Cross, a pretty good tackle out of Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. But the next pick was the Jets. And they took Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State.
Yep.
Garrett Wilson and Christian Watson might have looked pretty good with each other.
Yeah, I think they would have. I think they would have looked...
Maybe the Packers win a couple more games, even with Jordan Love, a quarterback, if he's throwing to Garrett Wilson.
Very true.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Yeah, the Jets added some talent. Sauce Gardner's probably going to win defensive rookie of the year.
The Jets might have both rookie of the years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if that's ever happened.
But for a team that lost their last 6 games, though. So,
yeah, no. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, right. Big issues. But more to come, to talk about. Hope everybody is enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back again next Thursday. Thanks, as always, everybody, for listening to the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. Wherever you're at, stay warm, stay safe, and go Pack-A-Day.